causes God to do radical things. In other words, God will break all the rules.
Oh,
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this beautiful evening. Thank God for this season that we're experiencing in Him. We give God praise for His faithfulness. Well, this evening, I want to share with us some thoughts, some things to consider, based on some of the things we've talked about in the last few segments together. But before we get to the Word, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your presence. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that you know us well. And Lord, O God, that you are always there to help us. A father once said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We ask, O God, for your help so that we can be in tune with you at all times. In tune, so Lord, O God, that we can experience your power in a way, O God, that we cannot imagine. Lord, we may seem ordinary to man, but to you, O God, we are not. For you've invested yourself in us. And your life is that which flows in us and through us. Paul, understanding this, said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, help us that we may represent you well in this world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Yes, it is true that we live in a physical body. But before we lived in this physical body, we were altogether spirit. As spirit, we came into a physical body. But as spirit, just like God, we had a soul. The Bible says God has a soul, which means God has a mind, has a will, has an intellect. I am convinced, I don't have a scripture verse, but I'm convinced that you chose the mother and the father that you came through. I am convinced that you chose whether you're going to be African or Asian, German, Ukrainian, Native American, or Native Canadian. And that in that choosing, you chose by God's grace an assignment that you were supposed to accomplish. And in that assignment, which God wanted you to accomplish, which you accepted, certain things were declared to bring about the fulfillment of it. But when we came into the flesh, the pressure of the world and the systems of the world started to pull us this way and that way. And when that begins to happen, we become unsure and not confident, because we strain away from the mark, the path we're supposed to follow. That's not to be fatalistic. That is to say, as we're talking about this morning, that double-mindedness is not just a variable of not lining up with the Word of God, what you have read and you've spoken or believed, but it's also separating yourself from your authentic self, your spiritual self. What God has assigned for you to do, and that which you have agreed with God to accomplish in the earth. Jesus came to do the Father's will. And you and I came to do the Father's will. Now, as stated, we sometimes go off on a tangent and we misalign ourselves. But God also, in His grace and in His mercy, when we're doing that, sends us warning signs. He will speak to us through people, through a prophetic word, through the teaching of the Word of God, through somebody that's just basically talking about something. But too many times we do not heed the warning. I have a vehicle that is very loaded, very safe. You shouldn't really have a self-accident with that vehicle, because if you are reversing, it shows you what's behind you. But not only does it show you what's behind you, it will push on the brakes if you're about to hit something. If you're trying to move ahead, even though you can see ahead of you, there's a screen that comes on and shows you that you're going ahead and this is the direction you're going. If you're trying to go left and there's a vehicle on your side, your blind spot, it will tell you. If you're trying to swerve off and go into another lane without turning your signal, it will grab the wheel for you and tell you, no, don't do that. I have saved myself from many accidents because my car helped me. But so also have I had an accident backing into somebody. I backed into somebody that was parked behind me. I didn't see the person, and they were just stopped there, and I'm reversing, and bang. The reason I had the bang was because I did not understand my car at that time. It was too new. While it was trying to brake, I was busy putting gas on. And then I heard bang. I said, "When did you get there?" So it is with life in God. So many times God is trying to put the brakes on and you're busy pushing on your gas pedal. And then when you hit something, you start to blame somebody. Why are you in my spot? No, they're not in your spot. You invaded their spot because you did not listen to the instruction, the guidance, what had been put in place. God put a conscience that tells you, push on the brakes. If I were in Nigeria, I would say, "Tinye brake." Push that brake, stop. But too many times we don't. just want to do our thing. But I thank God for a God who accommodates us, who knows that the flesh is weak, Jesus said, but the spirit is willing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we make mistakes. Has anybody here made a mistake? You hit somebody because you did not heed. You did push on your brakes. Oh, if I only just listened to the Lord, I wouldn't have had this. I tell you a story. Mom and I were at a very special gathering of ministers, a handful of ministers, about 1,400 of us from around the world were invited to this particular ministry setting. And we responded to the invitation a little bit late, and so we did not get the right hotel that had an elevator. We got this Motel Super 8 or something like that, and there was no elevator. So one evening where this service, all standing, and Mama hears the Lord say to her, move to the right. Step to the right. She did not. And the next thing, some guy steps, falls on her knee, and she could hear it. And those that were close by could hear that something just happened. Anyhow, we got home, and her knee's hurting. She's doing what she knows how to do. He'll restore, make whole. But he'll restore, make whole was not working too well that day. So now we get to the hotel, and we have two flights or so to climb. And she has to climb. We had two of our spiritual daughters with us. They were physicians. They came, they attended to her, did whatever it is they could do. And the next day, in the morning, we had to get to where the meeting was. Because if you don't get there on time, you'll be way in the back. And we want good seating. You know, some of you would have loved it. You like sitting way in the back. But not us. We want to be as close to the action as we can get. So, Mama cannot catch up. She says, go ahead, get the seat. I will find my way there. And so I said, okay. So I take off early in the morning around 6 a.m. for a service, or maybe between 6 and 7 for a service that's going to start at 9 o'clock. I'm heading there. So she's where she was. She managed to come downstairs, and she's seated there in pain. And a man of God comes to her, doesn't know her from Adam, comes straight to her and starts prophesying. Starts talking about one of her sons, what kind of anointing was on him, who carried that same anointing before. This guy doesn't know anything about Mama, but is just declaring the will of God. He said, don't worry about him. It doesn't matter. This is what he's going to do. So Mama is just awestruck. This guy doesn't know me. I don't know him. It's not that we don't know the prophetic declarations of God. But when you hear it and you see it, you're still awed by it because you know this is a man that God is using to declare certain things. Now, question. Think about it. Move to the left. She did not move to the left. Her knee is messed up. The next day, she doesn't go with me to the service right away. She's left in the lobby, and a man of God comes and talks to her. The question is this. If she didn't move to the left, if she had moved to the left, she wouldn't be at that place in the lobby. Are you with me so far? But does that mean that she wouldn't have heard that prophetic word? The fact is that God can still use that man that gave her the prophetic word wherever it is that he meets her later on. The pain was unnecessary, but the will of God is to bring that word to her. Are you with me? So, the point is this. Some things happen in our lives that are unnecessary. It's not needed for other things to happen. But that which is supposed to happen will happen in spite of it. You get it? Because the presence of God is what brings about the release. So, my quest is to be in line with God, in obeying God, so that I don't carry unnecessary pain, but get the benefits. I don't need to drive on the wrong side of the road, get an accident, to know that accidents cause pain. You don't have to go through a lot of things that you and I go through. We go through it because we don't understand. In the book of Acts, God tells in chapter 9 of Acts, God very specifically speaks to Paul that he is going to represent him in all kinds of places. Paul, you're going to go to Rome and you're going to speak to the emperor. You're going to do this and do that and so on and so forth. Great. I know that that's part of my calling and God's divine destiny for me to take this gospel to Rome. That was a prophetic word. How God does it doesn't necessarily need for him to be shipwrecked. Why does he get shipwrecked? Because he was about to be freed, but his mouth was too big. And he says, I appeal to Caesar. Oh, since you appeal to Caesar you're going to go. Could he end up in Rome? Yes. But when you appeal to Caesar, you're going to appeal to Caesar and you're going to go as a prisoner. But the prison that you're going to go, the boat that you're going to go through, the people who are captaining and the crew are not going to listen to you. And you're going to meet a big storm and that storm is going to get you into big time trouble. But Paul, how did you get to this point? Well, you know, my dad used to say, if you have big teeth, you better have big lips to cover it. Ah, that makes sense. Know what you carry. Know what you carry. Be mindful of that so that you don't get yourself into unnecessary trouble. The Bible tells us about Paul in Acts 15. Paul causes a young man that was very special, had great character, Timothy, to be circumcised. Paul does not believe in circumcision. However, Paul wanted to go in a particular direction. And prophetic words were coming. And the prophetic words were very specific. Every city that Paul went to, this prophetic statement was, the person who has this clothes or this girdle, this belt, this mantle, this person is going to be in trouble when they get to Jerusalem. Don't go. That was a prophetic statement. Paul says, I don't care, I'm going. Nobody's going to stop me. I'm going to Jerusalem. Why did God waste the time to send prophets to tell you not to go? And why do you think that after God told you not to go, that you should still go? It was not the devil that said. God said. God sent his prophets and told you, don't go. But you think, macho man, I'm going to go. It's like God speaking to me and telling me, listen, government is watching you. And then I cross the border and they ground me for 2 weeks. And they tell me, if you move out of your house and we catch you, $1 million, fine. And for every day that you break that quarantine, guess what? 6 months jail. God has already told me you've been watched. And I say, I don't care. I'm Mr. Invisible. Why did God tell me that they're watching me? I sat down. That was a wise thing to do. So, well, they must be tracking me through my telephone, my cell phone, so I'll keep my cell phone and I'll drive away. Yeah. That's when the devil will send somebody out of nowhere to find you in the most impossible situation. They'll find you. And now you are stuck. Your goose is cooked. Now you start praying all kinds of funny prayers in the name of Jesus. No, the name of Jesus was the one who warned you. Don't go. Paul says, I'm going to go. And he gets there and he compromises. Read the Bible. He compromises. This mighty man of God compromises because he was outside the will. Not outside the will because God did not want him to get to Rome, but outside the will on how God was going to get him there. Too many times we have our own plans of getting there. Just a moment ago, I was sharing on a television broadcast that covered Central America and South America about how the disciples decided to get into a boat. I shared that this morning also. They decided to get into a boat to go to Capernaum, and they left Jesus because they couldn't wait for Jesus anymore. Well, guess what? They arrived at the same time with Jesus when Jesus got into the boat. You're not going to get to wherever it is that you're going without Jesus in your boat. So better wait for him to come back from wherever it is he went, because you're going to arrive at the same time that has been planned. If he says the time of arrival is 10 p.m., it doesn't matter whether you started at 6 a.m. without him. You're going to arrive at 10 p.m. Even if the distance was 10,000 miles away and you started at 9:30 p.m. to arrive at 10 p.m., at 10 p.m. you're going to arrive, because Jesus is in your boat. He will carry you faster than you can come up with. So it's important to be in the will of God. Don't rush God and don't delay God. Be in sync with him. So Acts 20, Acts 27, Acts 28 tell us about the journey of Paul. Paul is in the ship. They had a storm. They stopped for a while, but it was going to be winter, and they had all this cargo, and they had to arrive at their destination point at a particular time. The weather seemed okay, and based on their natural mind, this was perfect time to go on the move. But Paul hears from God, and God says to Paul, Paul, tell them not to move. Because if they move, they're going to lose everything. The ship is going to be lost. The crew is going to be lost. The cargo is going to be lost. Everything is going to be lost. Tell them not to go. So he goes and he tells the captain and the military centurion that was taking him as a prisoner. Says, I heard from God. Yeah, what did you hear? God says, not to go. I said, go and sit down. What do you know about this? Don't you know that it's about to be winter? And if we don't go now when the weather is really nice, that we're going to be stuck right here, and the boat and everything is going to be crushed right here, because this is not the right place to settle for the winter. This is not an appropriate place to be in winter. Makes sense? But God says, don't go. God, who says, don't go now, can protect that ship or speedify and cause that ship to arrive at its destination point, even though it started late. So, because God saw the storm that was coming, and if they leave now, that storm is going to destroy them. God sees things that you don't see. And sometimes what God sees and what you see in your finite mind don't compute together. What God sees does not make sense with your natural mind. The Bible says that port was not suitable to winter in. Paul says, we shouldn't go. He says, and because the haven, Acts 27:12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also. The majority said, let's leave. If by any means they might attain to Phinehas and there to winter, there's a better place for us to winter. Let's go. We might just get to Phinehas and there, that would be a perfect place. He says, which is an haven of Crete and lie toward the southwest and northwest. Bible continues. He says, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, the weather was perfect. Loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Everything looked okay. And just after a while comes the storm. It says, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. In other words, we lost control of it and we just allowed the wind to carry it because we couldn't fight the wind. We couldn't fight this storm. So guess what's happening? They've been tossed. People are getting seasick. The ship is a mess. Now people can't even eat because they can't hold anything down. Up, down, up, down. I thought it was perfect weather. How many times have we launched out because we thought this was perfect timing? But God's Spirit is saying, don't do it. What do you mean, don't do it? It's perfect. Everything's okay. Don't do it. What's wrong with it? What could possibly be wrong with this? I'm doing the will of God. And God says, don't do it. Well, let's vote on it. And the majority says, let's do it. And now you're left in the minority. That was the situation. And they are in this situation. They start throwing off the cargo, all the stuff that they put in there. They are throwing everything off until the Bible says they get stuck. They get stuck in this quicksand. Everything is hitting them so hard. They've just been beaten. Things are tackling the ship. And they are losing hope. They think they're all going to die. But the Bible says, an angel of the Lord showed up and stood by Paul and tells Paul, tell them to listen to you. If they listen to you, not a soul is going to be lost. Not one person. So Paul comes by them. In verse 23 says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. I belong to God. And whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. That's a prophetic word I give to you so many years ago. When you started, you're going to stand before Caesar. I'm going to bring to pass the word I spoke concerning you. Yes, you messed up. Yes, the people around you messed up. But what I said will not be messed up. I told you, you're going to show up. And you're going to be with Caesar. You're going to speak to Caesar. And that's exactly what's going to happen. God had given thee all them that sail with thee. In other words, See, everyone that's sailing with you right now, I'm giving them to you. They're under your care. Not one of them is going to die. Sure, you messed up. Sure, you were Mr. Macho Macho Man. Sure, you went against what you believed of circumcising Timothy and whatever else. Sure, you did not trust me enough not to appeal to Caesar. And you appealed to Caesar. You could have gone. You've gone to Ephesus. You've gone to Colossae. You've gone to all of these places. I can take you to Rome. In fact, he'd written a letter to the Romans. I can take you to Rome. I appeal to Caesar. Listen, like I said earlier, if you've got big teeth, better have big lips to cover them. Don't you shoot your mouth off based on your own understanding. See, Pastor, we're talking about Paul who wrote the scriptures by inspiration. Yes. He did some things right and he did some things wrong and he wrote everything down so that you and I can learn. So they're stuck in the mud, but they're still far away from land. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 28, after he'd assured them to not be afraid, he says, be of good cheer. I believe, God, that it shall be even as it was told me, just like God told me. It's going to happen exactly like that. So guys, cheer up, eat, drink. It's okay. We're all going to be fine. He encouraged them. They see land and everything cleared up. And they come to this land. It's a land, an island called Melita. Melita means honey. So they come to Melita, and the people are barbarians, but they are kind to them. They receive them, and they are catering to them, and Paul goes to serve. He goes and he grabs some bundle of sticks and is putting it together, and all of a sudden, a demonic entity shows up as a serpent, comes out of the heat, the Bible says, wraps himself around Paul's hand. And the people say, this must be an evil man. The sea didn't claim him, and now he's on land, and he's not getting off. He is a bad man. He's done bad things. Guess what? They were right. He'd done a lot of bad things. He'd killed a lot of people. But the enemy wants to pin him back to the story of his past. How many times does the enemy come and point his finger of accusation at you and say, this is happening to you because of this, because of what you did, and because of what you did. And remember that time, and you remember that time, and remember that time, and you and I buy into that lie of accusation. Well, it may all be true, but there's something that overrides all of it. It's called the grace and the mercy of God. The only thing that matters is this, Paul, do not forget that the angel of God stood by you today or last night and told you that you're going to be fine. and everybody around you is going to be fine. Oh, but no, you are a wicked man. No doubt this man is a murderer. Huh? How did they know that? No doubt he's a murderer. Yes, he was. Acts 9 tells us that. He left Jerusalem and went into a different country just to kill believers and watch believers being murdered because he was a radical and extremist. No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. And so they began to watch for him to drop dead. And they watched. But Paul did something. The Bible says when that serpent wrapped itself around Paul's hand, Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Shook it off. When the enemies are accusing, and when your circumstances are declaring your demise, shake it off. Never come into agreement with your circumstance or the lies of the enemy. No matter how true the accusation sounds, shake it off. That's what Paul did. He said, you came out of the heat, out of this fire, back. You are not going to have control over me. And the people are watching, and they're watching, waiting for him to die, and the man doesn't die. He doesn't swell up. Huh. Then their language changed. And what do they now say? The Bible says, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they watched him, and the man is not dying. And saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds. I declare in Jesus' name that people's minds are going to be changed about you, changed about me, changed about Glory and Peace Church. And he said, from one extreme, he's a murderer, to the other extreme, he was a god. Oh, yes. They changed their mind. Now, don't buy into this other extreme. Because this other extreme is an entrapment of the enemy to make you feel more exalted than you ought to. Give all the glory to God. They said, this guy has to be a god. How did you come up with that? A god that the sea could not kill? A god that a serpent has to wrap itself around and try to kill? It's not rational. But they said it anyway. And there he is, not dying. Now they've changed their mind and they're calling him something else. And they begin to bring the sick. First of all, they bring the chief of the community, Publius. Publius hoses them, and they're there for 3 days. And he cared for them. They lodged with him. Can you imagine? This is a wealthy man. But Publius' father is sick. He's sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. Paul enters where Publius' father is, lays his hands on Publius' father, and healed him. Wow. Wow. You mean God is still using Paul? Yes. Because God saw that Paul was going to go in another direction. God was still present with him. He says, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. So you messed up. But I'm here. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to still use you. I'm going to still protect you. But understand, you don't have to be in a boat that is losing everything, be rejected, your words rejected by people, if you just followed my instructions. And when I said, don't go, don't go. No matter what everybody else is saying, don't go. Go when I say go. Stop when I say stop. When I give you the warning, there's a vehicle coming on your left. See it on the screen. You see the car? Don't swerve that way. Because if you swerve that way, you're going to be in an accident. Listen to the instruction of the Lord. I hope everyone is hearing. Listen. God gave you two ears to hear, two eyes to see, one mouth to speak. So see twice as much, hear twice as much before you start spouting off. Because this is the conduit to bigger problems and issues. When you start reacting instead of responding to the dictates and the directives of God, you see your circumstance and you prophesy your circumstance. You pour gasoline into it and the whole thing blows up. And you wonder, why is the fire? Because with your mouth, you're pouring gasoline into it. Keep your mouth shut if you don't know what to say. You have a safety point. Give God thanks in all things. God, I don't understand what's happening, but I give you praise. I worship you. I know that you are in full control. You are my helper. You are the present help in the time of trouble. A God who will never leave me nor forsake me. I don't know how I got here, what errors I made, what mistakes I made, if I had made any. Lord, I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you, God, for redemption. I thank you, Lord, for deliverance. I rest, oh God, in your mercy. Father, have mercy on my soul. Have mercy on my soul. Have mercy on me, Lord, and help me. Break forth on every direction. Help me, oh God, to break through. Help me, oh God, to manifest your glory. Help me, oh God, to experience fruitfulness in my life. Father, you are a good God. I place my trust in you. When you align yourself that way, you find rest in God. To resist the direction of God, you always pay a price. Sometimes you can do the right thing at the wrong time. And if God is cautioning and saying, slow down, slow down, slow down. Sometimes it is just, listen to this, sometimes God may stop you or slow you down from doing something that you should do only to teach you obedience. It's not that whatever it is that you're going to do is wrong. It's just about bringing you to a place where you are malleable. And it brings you to that place where you obey. He's teaching you obedience. Teaching you obedience. Teaching you obedience. Training you so that when it is time, you can follow through. You know, this evening, I was looking at something for a scripture and on my phone because I forgot to bring my iPad, and there was an alert on my phone. Many times, there are alerts that come on just to help us train to know what to do when there eventually is an issue, but you've already been trained. You know where your shelter is, you know where to run to, how, you know, there's an alarm in the school or in the church or whatever, not because there's a real fire, but just to get you out so that you can do the necessary things for safety. Sometimes God takes you through training like that. It's not that there's a real problem. It's just that He's training you so that when there is a real problem, you know exactly what to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, point. Made an error. They make an error. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God was with Paul, and miracles happened, and everything that was lost was restored to Paul. They brought all kinds of gifts to Paul that helped Paul when he arrived in Rome. He had his own private apartment. Paul, you're in Rome and you have your own private apartment? Yeah. I got to write. I got to minister to all kinds of people. Because God was with him. May God always be with us according to his word. And may we fulfill our destiny because his grace is sufficient. Blessed be the name of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we are thankful for the privilege once again to share in the integrity of your word. Thank you, Lord, O God, that in the milliliters of life, Lord, O God, you bring honey to us. And even though the enemy tries to sour our honey experience, your grace is sufficient. Lord, we've come through a pandemic, challenging times. But Father, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. We have arrived in a land of milk and honey. And Lord, oh God, you will take us to your promised place. And our lives will testify of your goodness in the land of the living. We will surely live our lives to the full. Thank you, Lord, for meeting every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, O God, for bringing us to a place where we recognize that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Lord, that word that is settled in heaven is now made manifest in the earth. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you are able to recalibrate and meet us wherever it is we are. When we've made errors and mistakes and taken wrong steps, that you are there holding on to us and helping us come to the right place. I thank you for every member of this family, this community of saints. Thank you, Lord, for your church, for the building up of your body. Thank you, Lord, for your exalted name in our midst. Thank you, Lord, that our very needs, all of our needs, have already been met according to your riches in glory. We bless and magnify your holy name, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we declare it so done. Amen. Maybe you're listening today, and you've heard the word of God. You can relate with the mistakes that were made. Maybe you're going through a storm right now because of mistakes that were made, and things are not falling in place for you as they should. This evening, if that's you, know to do this. Just ask God for mercy and for his present help in the time of trouble. And he will help you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, child of God. Trust that. Trust that the love of God is an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. It is still the word of God. Everlasting. God will outlast all of your mistakes if you trust him right now. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what perfect time for you to ask him. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take charge of my life and make something new out of it. And he will do so. You can trust him for that. Will you do so right now? Just raise your hand before God and just turn your life over to him. Say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm in the wrong place. Well, God will meet you in that wrong place. The word of God says, hallelujah. He says, even if you go make your bed in hell, God will meet you there. Psalm 139, he said, he'll meet you there. So he'll meet you right where you are. If you are here this evening, right here in the service, or you are right where you are behind this screen or listening to this broadcast on YouTube or Facebook or Reddit or one of the platforms that we air on or stream into, and you want to give your life to the Lord, I led you in that prayer. Just raise that hand and just say, Lord, I give you my life. Will you do that right now? Lord, I give you my life. His hand is stretched out to you right this very moment. And he's taking you by hand. And he's going to lead you the rest of the way and bring you home safely. Yes, you heard that right. God will bring you home safely. He came just for you. Trust him right now. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. If you're watching online, connect with your giving right now. Whatever it is God has placed in your hand, just release it to him and he will bless it. He will multiply your seed sown. For those who are helping to give towards the purchase of Bibles, because we're going to be having a mass crusade in a few days from now, on the 15th, in the land of Pakistan. We're raising $6 US, which will be about $7+. Actually, our goal is to raise $10,000 to purchase as many Bibles as we can. I encourage you to give towards it. If you've given already and you can give again, do so. I do believe that we are at about 80% of our goal right now. And by next Sunday, we should be in the overflow. I pray that we are over the overflow before then. and that I'll be able to announce to you that we've sent funds already. Amen. Thank you so very much for participating. And don't forget to pray for me as your pastor. Tomorrow, the 5th of September, I begin the 46th year of ministry before the Lord. I desire your prayers. The God of heaven, will help me fulfill every mandate without fail. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I love you all. Honor God with your giving. If you have not already, just do it. And I'll see you for prayer meeting on Friday. We're still not back to Bible studies. So I'll let you know when we're going to be back for Bible studies. But prayer meeting on Friday. Amen? God bless you. Have a great, great night. Enjoy the goodness of God. May God smile over you. And may you have a fun time with a God who has loved you with an everlasting love. God bless you. Good night.